The committee will now take up Senate Bill 209 to permit certain businesses to remit sales and use tax after machinery is under production. And Representative Dick Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With your permission, I'll just give a very brief 30-second introduction. This bill is one that will help us to delay the payment of sales and use tax until a machinery that's purchased is actually put under production, and it's brought to us by the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have Mr. David Owens present the bill to us.
Thank you, Representative Brown. Mr. Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, David Owens, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry. 209 is brought to you in cooperation not only with the State Chamber, but the Sioux Falls Chamber as well, and Mr. Nelson will follow me to talk about it. It is a much, much simpler concept than what you've been wrestling with, at least I hope and pray that it is. Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I would hand out just a quick piece of paper here. The subject of 209 is the use tax paid on large manufacturing equipment. We're all familiar with the fact that we pay sales tax when we go to the store. We're supposed to pay use tax when we order things over the internet or catalog, although very few people do. I've always accused the head of the Municipal League and some of the people in the Department of Revenue as probably being the only people who fill that out. That tax is also due when manufacturers bring in very large equipment that makes things like boxes or makes grinds metal into gears and those types of things that we do in South Dakota. And we do pay use tax on that. Kind of tongue-in-cheek, I always point out we do that because we believe in democracy and the rule of law and because we're audited all the time, and this is real big equipment. You can't hide it very well. South Dakota, in putting its sales and use tax on that equipment, kind of is in a middle group. There's more and more states that are exempting this kind of equipment altogether. They're not taxing this property. They're not making it subject to sales and use tax. There are a number of states that do tax this property year after year after year. We tax it once as a sales and use tax, and so with a $1 million piece of equipment, you've got a business that will pay $40,000 to the state and perhaps $20,000 to the city. If you look at the opening section of law that we are amending, you'll notice that you have to pay that. If you're paying more than $1,000 worth of tax, you have to remit that monthly, which means this tax in becomes due in the month after you've brought this in. I've wandered around to a lot of manufacturers. We are the Manufacturers Association in South Dakota. This equipment is what creates 50,000 very high-paying jobs, and I've asked a lot of manufacturers, how do you feel about paying use tax on that? Quite honestly, they're fine with that. We understand South Dakota's tax structure, and the state chamber defends that tax structure, but I've said, you know, what about the fact that it takes longer to put this equipment in place? And I get about a 50-50 reaction. Some of them say, you know, it would be nice to delay the payment of that tax until this equipment was up and running. Others don't want to have to account for the liability. The one place where I've had consistently people say it'd be nice is when folks have moved in to this state from other places, and they've ended up paying that tax before the plant that they're constructing was up and running. So what 209 before you does is allows a six-month extension of the payment of that use tax on equipment that is involved in manufacturing and processing. The mechanics of it are fairly clear. You have to have a piece of equipment that costs at least $20,000. You apply to the secretary. The department then can track who has asked for this exemption. We started down the road of making it when the equipment's in production or 6 months, and to be honest with you, even at the department's encouragement, this is a six-month extension. It's very simple, very straightforward. The folks that have become excited about this, I hadn't really kind of counted on you. What I handed out to you is little testimonials from some of the economic development people. And in my conversations with them, they will tell you that we've taken a lot of the incentives that South Dakota used to offer, and we've kind of inhibited those or even taken some of them away. We don't do as many phase-ins of property tax. We've made tax increment finance districts a little tougher to use. This is an incentive that is kind of a nice balance. We're not talking about the state or cities getting less money. We're talking about the time when it pays. The only impact it might have is because it's a six-month delay, you may get the money in the next budget year as opposed to this budget year. But we haven't asked for a reduction in this tax. We're simply asking that it be delayed until the give time for the factory to be open or the equipment to be in productive use. With that, I will hand it over to others and be available for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Further proponents of Senate Bill 209.
Mr. Mr. Chairman, I have an amendment on your permission.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dan Nelson, registered lobbyist for the Sioux Falls Area Chamber of Commerce. The amendment I'm passing out, if I may speak to give you a brief explanation, is a cleanup to a floor amendment that was made on the Senate side. We started this bill out talking about manufacturing equipment, and electrical generation or transmission equipment was added on the Senate floor. What this amendment does is simply adds that same language, electrical transmission or electrical generation, to two other sections of the bill to make it consistent throughout. I understand that probably over my shoulder as I'm speaking to you, the Department of Revenue is deciding whether that amendment is okay with them. Initially, we had worked this bill out in terms of a delay. And to stress what Mr. Owen had imparted to you in his testimony is that this is not a tax forgiveness by any stretch of the imagination. It is a delay. It's a timing issue. The emphasis here is on the state, but I would reiterate that these use taxes are also due to municipalities in many circumstances, and we made sure we talked with them in advance of bringing this bill forward. So. As this program phases in, there may be some effect from a delay, but once you're into it, there shouldn't be a problem. How do we decide who's eligible? That's what I wanted to cover for you today. There is a qualifying project cost of $20,000, and there is a requirement that to use this mechanism that you get advance permission from the Department of Revenue. So assuming that this bill would be enacted, passed and signed by the governor, before July 1st, we would go through a rules process by where the applications for these delays would be put together. So we would work with the Department of Revenue, those of us in the Chambers of Commerce and Economic Development Associations, work with them to get a system that makes sense. Now, for new businesses, I can foresee that the Sioux Falls Development Foundation, the Minnehaha County Economic Development Association, the Lincoln County Economic Development Association, those are three with which I'm very familiar and work closely with, that they would be offering this application process as part of their service when they're trying to locate a new business. For those existing businesses that would be eligible, that's an education job that those of us in the chambers would have to take, state chamber and local chambers with our own members. I think that we're up to that task as well. So we worked with the GOED on this bill, the Department of Revenue in advance as to the way it works mechanically. We've tried to create a situation that's a win-win. And without having a long-term effect on state or municipal revenues. So we'd ask your support of the bill and the amendment to clean it up, and we'll send it back to the Senate. I'm sure they would concur with this amendment should the House choose to put it on. I'd be happy to stand by for any questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Further proponents of 209.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Miller with the South Dakota Electric Utilities, and I represent the six investor-owned companies that have the privilege of doing business in South Dakota. And the amendment that went on the Senate floor was kind of a surprise to me, and now that it's on the bill, it does, in fact, need to be cleaned up by the amendment that you're being asked to consider. And I want you to assure you that the electric industry and all its branches supports this kind of legislation, and would remind the committee that under the provisions of this act, it's only going to become operational if the department agrees on an individual case. It's approval by the secretary, so that it isn't a blanket permission. The department still has authority. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any further proponents of Senate Bill 209? Further proponents? The crowd is a little thin here, so it looks like you probably got them counted. If there are no further proponents, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 209? Any opponents? I see none at this time, so we will now open the committee to questions of the proponents. Representative Wick and then Representative Hennings. Any questions? Representative Flowers.
Not Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. Where did the Section 3 come from? Who brought that amendment forward?
Mr. Chairman, who brought forward the Senate amendment? Senator Simmons.
I guess, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I'm assuming that probably is coming for us maybe because of the possibility of the wind generators.
Any further questions by the committee? Representative Koistinen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just wondering now, what are some of the criteria that determines who can apply for this extension? Anybody know?
Sure. Anybody would like to come up? Mr. Owen, Mr. Nelson, whoever or both?
Mr. Chairman, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber. If you look in the language of the bill, you'll see project is defined as manufacturing processing. We've done what we can to confine this to what we would refer to as primary industries, those that do manufacturing processing or fabricating under guys that, you know, trying to bring dollars back to South Dakota. And those terms tend to be defined in a lot of places in the law, but this is a reference to manufacturing processing, now electrical as well as
fabricating.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering, I know a lot of farm machinery, I'm not a farmer myself, but costs a lot more than $20,000, and sometimes if they buy it in the winter and don't use it until spring or so on, is that a possibility? I mean, I'm assuming it's not in here now, and maybe I'm opening a can of worms, but...
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I can't imagine that would be a can of worms. I guess I would point out, you know, we've not written it because this is our constituencies, the manufacturers. If my information is correct, there's a lower rate on some of the agricultural production equipment. I would leave it to others if they wanted to include this concept and perhaps ask them to pursue it on their own.
Further questions of the committee? Seeing no further questions,
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Representative Flowers.
I'm trying to get the other chairman.
I
guess if I might ask a question, Mr. Chairman, under business, would you maybe need to describe electrical transmission lines also? Does the amendment? Okay, sorry.
Representative Wick. I'm not quite. I'll give Representative Brown a chance to make a final comment as the sponsor of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Jaspers. I have no additional comments other than the excellent testimony we've heard from the proponents.
Thank you. Now we are into comments, discussion, or motions on the bill. Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move the amendment, but I think it needs to be changed first. And if you want to look at the amendment as it's presented, I'll read what I think it should say. And I checked with Fred, and he kind of nodded that's what it should be. And it would read the same on page 2, line 13 of the Senate and Gross bill. After N, delete A and insert N, electrical generation, electrical transmission. And then on line 22, after N, strike the A and insert N, electrical generation, electrical transmission. So it reads right. And I would so move. No. A-N.
We will take that as just an amendment to the bill. Basically, it would just change A to A-N, which will clarify the, make it the proper English. So the motion has been made. Is there a second? There's been a second. Further discussion on the amendment to the bill. Representative Hennies and the Representative Flowers.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think Ann is correct. Not being an English teacher, I mean, they're listing things here. I'd like to have a minute to read this over and get this straight in my own mind, but I think it's correct as written.
Representative Flowers, were you thinking and, A-N-D?
No, my name's not Representative Flowers.
Oh, sorry.
But
I'm looking through here.
Do you think and is... AN is used before as opposed to AN. Well, it depends on how it's being used. I'd like to have a minute to read this and get it in my mind, but I don't want to gum up the works here, but I think it's correct as written.
Okay. In the meantime, Representative Flowers.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with... I think I agree with Representative Hennies. If you read that, it says in a electrical generation, electrical transmission, manufacturing, fabricating, or processing business.
I think we need some remedial English help here. It should be AN.
I'd hate to lose this bill.
Well, if I could, committee, I think this is one of those things that... if I could get the committee's attention here a second. In either sense, I believe that if we do it in wrong English, I think the code council could straighten it out so that it does read properly, and I guess with any of the... With the absence of an English major here, or a master, or whatever, we'll just go ahead as written unless there's an amendment to change it. Representative Hennies.
I've had the second to read that over, and I withdraw my earlier comments.
Further discussion and/or action on the we're on the amendment to the motion or amendment to amend the bill. Further discussion on that amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment to Senate Bill 209, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The bill is so amended. Further discussion and or action. Representative Hennies.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the surface, you might think this is a revenue neutral bill, but in my opinion, I think this would save money for certain taxpayers. I'd like to give you a little scenario. In the construction business, you take out a construction loan. Most people take out a construction loan before they do a project. And if there's $1 million piece of equipment in here, I would say the chances are very good that they will be taken out a construction loan. You pay a much higher rate of interest on that than you do on your permanent financing. And so if you can prolong this tax until you get on your permanent financing, then I'm surprised there aren't bankers in here talking against this, if I'm correct in this. But then you wouldn't have to borrow that money on your permanent financing to pay that extra tax on there. So it would save certain individuals money in a case like this. So I'd be in favor of it. Thank you.
Further discussion and interaction, Representative Frost.
I move do pass.
There's been a motion to do pass by Representative Frost, second by Representative Brown. And further discussion on that motion. Any discussion? Seeing none, we will vote on final passage of Senate Bill 209, do pass as amended. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Flowers.
Aye.
Representative Frost.
Aye.
Representative Gardis.
Aye.
Representative Hennie.
Aye.
Representative Hunstead.
Aye.
Representative Poistman.
Aye.
Representative Slaughter.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Representative Whit.
Aye.
Representative Jaspers.
Aye.
Representative Brown.
Aye.
The motion do pass amended has passed. And we'll hand the gavel back to our chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
There's been a motion to...
Amendment.
You can still do it on that amendment. There's been a motion for consent. Is there a second?
Second.
The second. Any discussion on consent? Seconded by Representative Frost. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? One dissension. So,
Mr. Chairman,
just to keep a
Representative
Flowers.
Well, I just think it's an important, pretty important piece of legislation. I think it probably should be explained to the public a little bit.
It is. I'd be happy to do that.
And Representative Brown would do an excellent job of that. Dan. Now I will hand the gavel back.
Thank you, Representative Jaspers. We have now completed our